the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six reasons not to overlook the People Mover. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 85 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of August 14th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member who really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next trip at no cost to you while making sure you get the best deal on your vacation. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. Back when it first opened on July 1st of 1975, it was known as the Wedway People Mover. From 75 to 94, it became known as the Tomorrowland Transit Authority and changed names again in 2010 when it became known as the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover, which I guess is the best of all worlds from a naming perspective, even though it ends up with a really long name. So it's interesting that the People Mover is the only attraction in the Magic Kingdom that still has a sponsor. Do you know who it is? We'll get into that. The People Mover is a blast from the past and a look to the future. It's one of my personal favorite attractions, so today we're going to take a look at the top six reasons not to overlook the People Mover. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a guy who is also a blast from the past, but who keeps an eye on the future, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome back.
I want to say that I've been on this podcast now several times. That was my favorite intro ever that you've given me.
Oh, thanks.
I need my business cards. Just blast the past, look in the future. That's good.
I may just trademark that. So you know, if you want to use that, let me know, because you know, 5 cents for each card, something like that. All right. So the People Mover honestly is one of my favorite attractions. I often go on it when I'm at the Magic Kingdom. I'm looking forward to this conversation. But let's jump over to the warm-up question for a second, which today is favorite show in Animal Kingdom.
Definitely, without hesitation, Festival of the Lion King.
How come?
I mean, there's good shows at Animal Kingdom. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot to see. But the Festival of the Lion King consistently blows me away. And for those not familiar with it, it is kind of telling the story of Lion King in kind of a unique way. They've got live actors. They've got singing and music. They've got dancers. They've got a gorgeous set. They've got these huge animatronic animals. They've got acrobatics. They've got fire. It's almost like a mini Cirque du Soleil show in a way, just in the way it's handled. And it's gorgeous to look at. The performances across the board, as many times as I've seen it, have been stellar. And just some of these jaw-dropping stunts and aerials and acrobatics, I just think it's beautifully done and really, really cool. And it's one that, when I'm in Animal Kingdom, I always have to see.
All right. Well, for me, Flights of Wonder is not my favorite show at the Animal Kingdom. I have to go with Festival of the Lion King too. Although I would probably debate Finding Nemo the musical, because I really do like that. I think the new songs that were created for Finding Nemo the musical are just extraordinary. I think they did a super job. Yeah. I think the show comes to a great culmination, got a great story. But if I had to pick a favorite show, I would be right there with you, Aaron, with Festival of the Lion King, for all of the reasons that you said. And you know, there are a couple other things that come to mind too. So one is the Tumble Monkeys. So the guys they get to do that are amazing athletes. Put on a great segment in that show of climbing and swinging. But if you just check out what they do in between numbers and how they act like monkeys, they're hilarious. The guys who they've cast in the show for the Tumble Monkeys are really just spot on. But one other thing that I really like about the Festival of the Lion King is the part, and I think I've mentioned this before, when they have the kids get up and sort of march around the stage. It's a stage in the round. And so many times I have seen kids who are just having the time of their life because they have their moment in the show. And that's something that I enjoy as much as I do all the spectacle of the show itself.
Yeah, definitely. It is really good for that kind of audience interaction. And at the beginning of the show, when they divide up the audience into the different animal types and have you do the animal calls, and then throughout the show, they kind of come back to that. It's really, really well done.
Yeah. And now we all know what sort of sound a giraffe makes.
Which, that's true. And, you know, what can I do it here? You have to go see the show. Because I don't think we can repeat it here. It's not going to have the same effect.
No, you have to have like 500 people doing it at once. Absolutely. And then it works. But yeah, with just two of us, maybe not. All right, good. So from Animal Kingdom, we're going to jump over to the topic for today, back over at the Magic Kingdom. Top six reasons not to overlook one of my favorite attractions, the People Mover. And number one, Aaron, is for you.
So I love the People Mover. It is, hands down, when I'm at Magic Kingdom, one of the attractions I need to go on every time. And there's a lot of reasons for that that we're going to get into. But it's one of them is, it's a classic. It is a Walt Disney World classic attraction. Like you said at the start, it was opened in 1975. 4 years after the park itself opened. And so much has changed in the park over the years, and there's so many new attractions, and they've gotten, you know, so impressive from a technical standpoint over the years, and with the current attractions like Enchanted Tales with Belle and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train that do incredible things with animatronics and projections and stuff. And these are great attractions and everything. But there's something about that classic attraction that's just kind of sweet and innocent and old school Disney, and you can just kind of envision just the Imagineers from that time frame creating this simple attraction. And I say simple, and the reality is the system, the Omnimover system that drives it, is actually incredibly high tech even nowadays, and it was mind-blowingly high tech then. But I feel that when I'm at Magic Kingdom and I'm seeing all these great new attractions and these amazing rides and these thrill rides and all these things, it's great to pay homage to some of the attractions that paved the way, and People Mover is one of those. So it's a classic, and that is not to be understated.
You are spot on all of those points. I like the fact that this was something of a prototype for the city and the urban planning that Walt wanted to do with Epcot. And the technology that you mentioned, I think, is also very interesting. So the People Mover uses something called a linear synchronous motors. And I tried to look that up and understand what it is. And the best of my knowledge, motors can be sort of like a torque motor with a rotation, or it can be a linear motor. And these are linear motors. And it's the type that today are used in maglev trains, which we think is still pretty high tech. And here it was placed in a working park environment back in 1975. So a Disney classic in both the fact that it's been around for a long time, it's got Walt's fingerprints as sort of a prototype transportation method, and it really represents that forward-looking technology that Disney is known for. All right, Disney classic number one. So number two, over to me. One of the things that I really like about the People Mover is you get great views of Tomorrowland. So as you're traveling around, you get to see Space Mountain, you get to see a really close-up version of the Carousel of Progress, you get to peek out into the Speedway, you get to look down towards Main Street, you get a look at the castle from a really unique angle, even though it's not in Tomorrowland. So I think it does its job in giving you a tour of Tomorrowland and giving you a chance to see all of the sights along the way.
Yeah, it's. I'm gonna touch upon that later on. So I'm not gonna, agree with you too much now, but yeah, it's kind of fun to get that. Just it's the only land in Magic Kingdom that really has that kind of like tour available to it. Mm-hmm. That it's kind of this nice way, and the narration that is telling you what you're seeing, and like, oh, here's the Monsters Inc. laugh floor, and here's, it's almost kind of neat to go on it first.
Yeah.
And kind of see all the things to see in Tomorrowland and then start going on the other attractions.
Yeah. Yeah, because you get a good overview, good lay of the land. All right, that was number two, great views of Tomorrowland. Number three, back to you.
So I'm going to kind of just build upon what you just said, actually, and with how it gives you a kind of tour of Tomorrowland. And like I just said, there's this narrator, this recording that is telling you what you're seeing, so you can kind of get this cool idea of what's available in Tomorrowland. But also it takes you inside some places, which is kind of neat. It's really the only attraction that takes you inside another attraction at Walt Disney World. I could be wrong, so no angry letters telling me that I'm wrong. I admit that I might have just forgotten about something. But one of the cool things about it is as you're going around, you go into Space Mountain. And so you're, you know, here you are going around, you're outside, and then you're inside, and then you kind of go through the circle around one of the gift shops that you can look down into. And then you're looking through windows into Space Mountain. As my wife says, it is the closest you will ever get to Space Mountain.
she's been not a fan, huh?
No, she's not been on a roller coaster. She went on it once because it's, you know, because Space Mountain's another classic, and she felt it was an icon. She had to at least try it, but once was enough. But she's more than happy to go on People Mover and see it through windows at a much slower pace. So if you're not sure about Space Mountain and you're not sure if you want to go on it or not, or you got someone in your party who maybe kind of wants a quick preview before they decide, go on the People Mover, because you'll see, I mean, not a ton of it, but you'll actually get, you know, it's dark, you can't see a ton of it. But you will see a little bit of Space Mountain as you go through go on the People Mover, so it could be kind of a neat little preview.
Yeah, it's a good way to get a sense of what you're in for as far as dark spaces and kind of noise and all of that. I love the fact that you get to peek down into Buzz Lightyear. I like that you get to check out the diorama of a part of Progress City, not even all of the original model, but the model for Epcot. So it's a great way to get little peeks into a lot of different things.
Yeah, and a lot of history. Like you said, the Progress City, which for Disney history buffs is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really cool that you get the kind of inside previews of things, and you know, and going back to our earlier thing about it being classic, it's just a bit of history on the inside as well.
Yeah, you know, that's a good tie-in. I didn't realize this, but the original model of Progress City was put up in Disneyland in 1967. I didn't realize it went back that far. So there's another amazing piece of Disney history right there, and ties into the first point that you had about this being a classic.
Yeah.
All right. Number four is back over to me. One of the reasons that I am a rabid fan of the People Mover is that it is a great chance to relax. So you get to sit down for a full 10 minutes as you get swept around Tomorrowland with a nice breeze. There's a cover over the top, and you're in the air conditioning in some parts of the attraction. So it's a long-lasting ride and a great way to take a load off and just enjoy seeing Tomorrowland.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice on a really hectic, crazy day in the parks to, you know, hit those slower paced ones and kind of just sit back and relax and not have to, you know, be on your feet for a few minutes. So People Mover is definitely good for that.
Yep. Okay, that was number four, a chance to relax. Number five, Aaron, do you?
So this one kind of ties in a little bit to yours, in that People Mover often doesn't have a huge crowd, a huge line. And for a variety of reasons, I think a lot of people pass by on their way to quote-unquote more interesting attractions like Buzz Lightyear or the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor or something like that. So I feel like it's one that people just kind of walk by. I feel that there's also the fact that the entrance for it is kind of set off the beaten path a bit. It's kind of on that center circle near the elevators for Astro Orbiter, and you have to go up this kind of escalator ramp thing to get up to the platform for it. So it's not a huge obvious, here's the entrance, you know, a lot of flashy lights or anything like that. So I think a lot of people walk by it. It generally has a much shorter wait than other attractions, especially at night. And I highly recommend doing it at night because you get to see Tomorrowland all lit up with all those beautiful colors and neon. So if you're only going to ride Tomorrowland once during your trip, I would actually say do it later in the evening once the sun has gone down. Especially later at night when everyone is rushing to see Wishes and the Macy's Electrical Parade and having dinner. You can often walk right onto the People Mover. So if you do want to just sit down towards the end of the day and take a load off and go on this classic attraction, you may not have to wait long for it. If you've got someone in your party who maybe is getting a little antsy and you just need to, you know, go on something and sit them down for a little while during the day, you can often get on Tomorrowland Transit Authority a lot quicker. So it's relaxing when you're on it, and it's also a little less hectic to get on. So it can definitely be one to check out, to take a load off without having to wait in line for an hour.
Yeah, good point. So that there's kind of a good tip in there. If there's a 20-minute wait for the People Mover, that's an extremely long wait.
And yes.
You're probably New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve, something like that. There's rarely a wait. And if there is a wait, the park is probably packed, and you probably need to take 10 minutes and relax on the People Mover anyway.
Yes.
All right, number five, low wait, which is one of the things that makes the People Mover something easy to enjoy, because if you just happen to be walking by in Tomorrowland, you know, you don't have to stand in line for 30 minutes, so you can sit down for 10. Okay, number six, last one, is over to me. So one of the things that I think is interesting about the People Mover is that, in a way, it provides you a glimpse of the future, at least as it was seen from the past. So we talked at the top about the fact that this was something of a prototype technology, still a pretty advanced technology for how Walt wanted to design a real urban environment, a real city, and provide a way for people to be able to get from one spot to the next, with monorails covering long distances and People Movers covering short distances. And I think it's fun to think about how that technology was developed, and how it didn't really make it out there into the world in the way that Walt wanted, but it still does give us a futuristic type of attraction that is still a very relaxing and a fun attraction too.
Yeah, you know, as I've read, you know, various histories about, you know, Walt's ideas of the future, it's pretty amazing. And we talked about how the technology behind the People Mover is impressive now and was mind-blowing then. And the plan was to have these in every city. And, you know, people wouldn't be, you know, stuck in traffic on the highway to get to work. They would just hop on a People Mover.
Yeah.
And so it is interesting, as you're riding it, to kind of set yourself out of the ride almost in a little way and think about the applications that Walt dreamed for this thing and what could have been.
Yep. Yeah, we still haven't gotten to that time where we're getting away from traffic. I'm not sure the People Mover is going to be that solution, but it's fun to think about how it may have played a role in solving a lot of different problems we have in urban planning.
Yeah.
All right, so through the magic of Wikipedia, I said at the top I would mention the sponsor of the show. So interestingly, the original sponsor was the Edison Electric Institute way back in 1975, kind of a sign of the times there. But today's sponsor, Aaron, do you happen to know what the sponsor is, to put you on the spot?
I actually, off the top of my head, I don't.
You know, it's got a really interesting sponsorship. Alamo Rent-A-Car sponsors the People Mover, which in a way it seems like a unique sort of choice, because Alamo is all about cars and People Mover is all about sort of mass transit. So an interesting tie-up there.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, that is kind of neat.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. People Mover, it's a good one, so folks, please don't overlook it. Good six reasons why you shouldn't. Number one, it's a Disney classic. Number two, it provides great views of Tomorrowland. Number three, it gives you a chance to preview the attractions of Tomorrowland and see Progress City. Number four, it's a great way to relax. Number five, always almost a low wait. And number six, it is a glimpse of the future, at least as it was seen from the past. Aaron, fun list.
Absolutely. Fun ride. So, you know, fun list for fun ride.
I agree. All right, Aaron, if people are interested in learning more about what you're up to and your thoughts on the latest happenings in the Disney universe, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, I have a Disney blog that I write called Magic and Misadventures. So they can head on over to magicandmisadventures.com and check that out. On there, I talk about a variety of Disney topics. It can be anything from do-it-yourself projects, like decorating magic bands. It can be ranting about changes or about, you know, just different things that I tend to rant about. It can be nostalgia, looks at the past. It can be looking ahead to the future. It can be blast of the past and looking to the future, like we said. It's a variety of topics. You know, it covers Disney World, Disneyland. It covers things beyond the parks, like movies. I also have a variety of social media outlets, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and they can find the links on magicandmisadventures.com and follow me everywhere. And it'll be great. We'll be friends. It'll be fun.
Right, good. MagicAndMisadventures.com. It is one of my favorite sites. I always like the take that you have on all things Disney, and your writing style is a lot of fun. So I encourage people to check it out. And as always, Aaron, thanks so much for joining me today to talk about the People Mover. It was a good time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Today we head out to the music of Tomorrowland, and yes, we've made it through the list of the top six reasons not to overlook the People Mover. Our conversation, however, isn't over. I'd love to hear what you think about our list. Do you have a different idea or something you'd like to add? You can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/85, a page that works great on tablets, smartphones, and desktops. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. If you liked today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, as always, I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who like Disney in the forum and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.